next case is 97-980, City of Columbus Civil Service Commission versus James McClellan, Ohio Civil Rights Commission.
She's got the lady with the four kids, his mom, his sisters. She called today, so she's bringing the kids down to the country.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Sherry Atmore. I'm an assistant city attorney, and with me today is my co-counsel, Stephanie Mitchell Hughes. We are representing the City of Columbus in this matter. I would like to reserve 4 minutes of my time for a while.
Watch your time.
Your Honor, this case arises from an Ohio Civil Rights Commission finding that City of Columbus discriminated against Mr. McClellan, the appellee in this matter, based on a perceived handicap. Mr. McClellan had applied for a firefighter's recruit position with the City of Columbus back in 1992. Firefighter position is a civil service position that requires applicants to compete for that position. Based on the competitive exam that Mr. Long took, he was ranked 156th on an eligibility list for that position.
You started your argument by saying based on a perceived handicap.
Yes.
If it's only perceived and isn't a handicap, then he shouldn't be disqualified.
If he is perceived as having a substantial limitation, then he comes within the protection of the discrimination law.
Mm-hmm.
If an individual can fail to satisfy a physical requirement, Your Honor, of a particular job, that does not come within the scope of the discrimination law.
So that's what makes it a perceived handicap.
What makes it a perceived handicap is whether or not the City of Columbus perceives him as having a substantial limitation. And that is an essence of the position of the City of Columbus in this matter, that we did not perceive him as having a substantial limitation. We perceived him as having a limitation that prevented him from performing a highly specialized function, Your Honor. But not every person who is disqualified from any job because of some limitation qualifies for protection under Ohio's discrimination law. They weren't intended to cover everyone who is rejected for a position because of not meeting a particular criteria. The law requires more than that, Your Honor. This particular set of facts does give rise to two issues before this court. One is the issue that I just addressed, whether Mr. McClellan was entitled to protection from discrimination laws based on perceived handicap. Second issue is whether the remedy awarded under these circumstances was appropriate.
I had some difficulty, I guess, and I followed your argument in the brief. I had some difficulty being persuaded that his handicap was not a general handicap. It was more than a specific handicap. He couldn't drive a car, he couldn't, without corrected vision. There were a number of things, as I recall, that he said he could not do without because of his vision impairment, if that's the right word. Can you elaborate a little more on why the city argues that this is a specific narrow impairment versus a, simply somebody can't drive a car? That's a fairly general impairment.
Well, the major reason, Your Honor, would be that this case was pursued, was pursued as a perceived handicap. The Ohio Civil Rights Commission specifically amended its complaint to proceed on a perceived handicap basis as opposed to proceeding on actual handicap basis. That's why the issue is before this court the way it is. As to whether or not they could have proceeded on that basis, the city would argue no. What we're talking about here is that Mr. McClellan is nearsighted. He's nearsighted, and as and that condition, which is relatively minor and commonplace, I would guess that a number of persons in this courtroom, I know including myself, have vision that is no worse than Mr. LeBlanc's. And the EEOC regulations indicate in interpreting federal law, which is essentially parallel to Ohio law, they indicate to qualify as an actual handicap, an impairment must be substantially limiting in the sense that the individual is unable to perform a major life activity that an average person in the general population is unable to perform.
Well, I imagine a lot of people that drive automobiles have glasses, as we do, because they've corrected their impairment. But that's not the issue, is it? I mean, the issue is whether the impairment without correction, the handicap without correction, is something that affects one's major daily activity of life. And certainly, if Mr. McClone could not drive a car, I would guess do other things, therefore, without corrected vision, doesn't that meet the test of not being able to engage in a routine, regular activity of life, at least in 1998?
Yes, Your Honor, but I believe the test goes further than that. You're talking about a condition which affects the vast majority of the population that's commonplace, that it imposes a limitation on that is common.
Firefighters who are on the force with similar or identical vision as this particular person, they're not let go. They continue on. Isn't that true?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. That is correct.
So there's only this initial qualification.
Yes, and that initial qualification, the reason the city accepts standards in that way, is to take into account natural progression, deterioration of eyes with age, so that once you become a firefighter, you will be able to be someone who, in fact, can continue.
Is there a medical basis for that? I thought that with being nearsighted, sometimes with age, that condition improves rather than deteriorates.
Yes, I believe that to be true. In this case,
the color blindness probably doesn't.
It's undisputed here, Your Honor, though, I think the other side would concede that the ability to be able to see in a fire situation is critical. I don't think anyone's going to challenge that here. That is something that is critical. And in this particular case, although contact lens wearers may be visually as proficient as the next person, there's absolutely no guarantee that a person will be able to successfully wear.
But if it's so critical, how can they continue to have firefighters with impaired vision?
I believe, Your Honors, in part, experience over time can make up for part of the visual acuity, being able to use your other senses to detect things that would be able to be used by your vision. But I would point out to the court, we're not challenging that aspect of the decision below. We're challenging the aspect of the decision below as to whether or not this person is entitled to the protection of the discrimination laws to begin with. Whether that is something that should be even be being reviewed by the courts, the fact that someone did not meet a particular physical criteria.
I'd like to take you to your time is running to the remedy issue, and I guess I need to know from I read the brief, and I think I know how far along he was in the process of being on the list and being selected. But I took it that he had not gone through, he certainly had not gone through the training that's required. And do you read the order of the Court of Appeals to sort of jump over that and just put him in the job without any of the training or some other, there was some other testing, I believe, that was still would have been completed. Can you tell me what the status is?
This gentleman had not even completed a physical portion of the exam. The first thing they did is the visual portion of the exam. This person had not been proceeded to other positions of the physical exam. what the rest of the process was. What happened to your man was this hearing examiner recommended, which the hearing examiner itself only recommended that you go back on the eligible list and an objection was filed to that report by the Attorney General's office saying it really should have been something more, and they requested that the commission reopen the record. Commission granted the motion, but never reopened the record. The only thing we have here is pure speculation. There is no live probative substantial evidence contained in this record to support the court's remedy.
So do you read the order as it stands, the case stands now, that literally he's ordered to be hired by the city as a firefighter, be paid back pay for not having served without having to do the training or having a physical examination?
Yes, Your Honor.
That isn't even in his interest, I wouldn't think.
No, it wouldn't. It would not be in his interest. Your Honor, if I could just take another minute more to go back to the issue, which we find is error in this case, as to whether or not this person is entitled to protection under the discrimination law, qualified for protection under the perceived handicap theory, there must be a showing that the Columbus perceived substantially existed in this particular case and life activity of working, and that to be removed as from an eligible list for a firefighter position is not perceived as substantially limited at work. This gentleman could have come to the city of Columbus and applied for some 700 other positions that existed at the time that did not involve an uncorrected visual acuity standard. This gentleman is not being stereotyped by the city of Columbus. He's not being closed from employment opportunities generally. And as the EEOC, through the federal law, which is parallel to Ohio law, has said, just because you're not out of a highly specialized job doesn't bring you within the purview of the discrimination law based on substantial limitations on working. And the specific examples they give are so close to this case. They give examples of being eliminated from a position as an airline pilot based on a vision requirement. A baseball player who's eliminated based on a physical standard. Just because you're eliminated from a highly specialized job based on physical requirements does not entitle you to protection under the discrimination law.
Acceptance of your proposition of law number 2.
Yes, Your
Honor. Does that admit a discriminatory reason? If we find that he's handicapped, then you say we have found that that's a discriminatory reason.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then you would want us to adopt proposition of law of the 2 that says you did discriminate, however, the remedy is inappropriate.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I see.
Thank you, Ms. Passmore. Mr. James.
This case is about forcing employers to judge applicants on their abilities and not their disabilities. The city does not conduct regular eye examinations for its firefighters, nor does the city prohibit its firefighters from wearing contacts. Yet in this case, because of his visual impairment, the city foreclosed Mr. McClellan from the firefighting profession.
But if you don't like the rules, Council, that's not the issue here, is it? The issue isn't whether we can't change the city's rules. Your issue really is whether or not this person, you know, should have been eliminated. The rule is the rule. Is it improperly applied to this fellow? Or are you just saying we can eliminate those rules? Courts can do that?
The vision acuity standard?
Right.
Yes, the vision acuity standard does not provide meaningful standards, job-related standards, then yes, we can change the standards. And in this case, all we're asking is for the city to treat its applicants the same way it treats its employees, allow its applicants to take the vision test with context.
You said that he should be judged, or people should be judged on their ability, not their disability.
Correct.
Isn't a component of ability, any disability that one might have? Your ability to do a job, if you are not able to do it, if you're not able to lift 200 pounds, isn't that part and parcel of ability?
I think I follow your point. In this case, we know that the city does not conduct regular examination, nor does it prohibit firefighters from wearing contacts. So therefore, individuals who wear contacts can perform the job. And yet, when it comes to testing, it does not permit firefighters who wear contacts to pass the test. So Mr. McClone, had he been given the opportunity to wear contacts to take the test, he would have passed the test, and he'd be a firefighter.
Okay, so then he doesn't have a disability.
Well, he has a disability. He perceives as being disabled. He clearly has an impairment, and because of that impairment, he's being foreclosed from being a firefighter. He's being foreclosed from the entire profession. So then that's a substantial limitation on his major life activity work. He no longer can pursue his profession.
Well, but you could apply that to any, that's not set, is it? I mean, you can apply that to anybody who applies for a job. I don't think the test is whether this is an impairment or disability that it's general, that affects your the way in which you lead your life versus an impairment that's specific to the job that you're seeking. Isn't that, the test isn't whether...
No, the test is whether he is substantially, in this case, it's whether he is substantially limited in major life activity of work. And in order to determine that, we have to analyze that phrase. What does that mean? And that means that you have to be foreclosed from an entire profession, class of jobs. And he is substantially limited in major life activity of work because he has been foreclosed from all firefighting jobs within the city.
So if an applicant to be an airline pilot can't stand heights, that means that would be that would be discriminatory to not permit that person to be hired as an airline pilot. But
yes, because an airline pilot, in the example you gave, would be a class of jobs. Now, contrast that with someone who can be a certain type of airline pilot, where it's a particular job with a particular employer. They want a certain position as in, like, a commercial airline pilot. That would be different because in that instance, maybe the person could be a co-pilot, or maybe they could be a pilot for a courier service. That is very different from the situation we have here, where you're barred from the entire occupation.
Counsel, courier planes fly at lower altitudes than other planes, or I don't understand.
Oh, well, I guess in your example,
hope they don't.
You're right. I mean, in your example, the person is being foreclosed from the entire class of jobs of being a pilot or a commercial airline pilot.
I'm sorry, counsel. What standard that you have to apply in this case in practicality? Obviously, there's some point below which you can't go here in terms of vision acuity. So, your complaint is that the standard that they apply to get in the door is too high because they have people who are already in that fall below that standard and they allow them to still be a firefighter. Is that?
That's right. There are obviously a lot of standards. Their standards must be meaningful.
So what does the entrance standard need to be then? Is it that the city has to develop some threshold if your vision, even if you're an existing firefighter, falls below this level, you're off the force or you're on a desk or whatever that standard is, but you can't go out and get directly involved in fighting the fire if your vision falls below X.
The standard has to be job related, and I think that's what you're saying. The standard does have to be job related of what makes this case such a clear case of discrimination is that we have individuals who are on the firefighting force with vision impairments. So we know that they can safely and substantially perform the essential functions of the job in context. And yet, people who are trying to become firefighters aren't permitted to wear contacts to take the test.
So
in this case, all we're asking for the standard to allow for the wearing contacts.
So you wouldn't have a beef about it that they had a policy that every year everyone on the force took an eye test, and if you failed, that you would have to quit the force.
Well, they should have a policy that to make sure that if their standards are job related and any individual is falling below that.
And my question was, would you have a cause of action if they had that standard?
Well, what you would have is if the city of Columbus fired somebody because they fell below.
Well, your whole premise, as far as I can see it, is that people are treated differently. That once they're on the force, they can go almost blind and they still have a job because they're not tested. All I'm asking is that my contention that if they had a testing program yearly for members of the fire department, and if you failed, you would have to leave, you would have no cause of action, then, would you?
You would have cause of action, Your Honor, because, again, what you would have is, and let me just state that, what you would have is that you have an individual impairment that's being foreclosed again from the entire...
Well, then it's not premised upon the people in the job being treated differently than applicants for the job.
No, it's not premised upon that. I think that goes to show that the job can be safely and substantially performed by wearing contacts.
Because of the reasonable accommodation and causing no undue hardship upon the city of Columbus.
Right.
That's correct.
What this court rules is that a person is regarded as being handicapped when they're substantially limited in the major life activity, when an employer regards that person as having impairment, that forecloses employment opportunities for an entire profession.
That's the real issue here, you know, limiting, you know, 50% of the people in this room have vision problems, probably. We need some correction.
Right.
And so the question becomes, are we perceived as limited in our major life activities? Are we?
If there was a standard that said that you can't be a judge,
that's not the. It doesn't say profession, counsel. That statute doesn't say anything about getting in to be a firefighter or an airline pilot or an engineer who works under microscopes. It says major life activity.
Right, and
working.
Let me add that one of the major life activities is working.
And this man, that's where you want to draw a line that I don't think is in the statute. This man, and none of us, most of us feel that wear glasses of various sorts, don't feel like we are limited in our ability to work. We might not be able to do firefighting, but we can work.
If you were
and we're perceived as being eligible for employment.
If you were prohibited from being adjusted based on your visual acuity, then you would be substantially limited in the major life activity.
See, that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Whether or not that's what the definition means.
Right.
And is that what the legislation meant? Doesn't say anything about class of jobs, does
it,
counsel?
Well, the Ohio law can be interpreted by looking at federal cases, and federal cases do talk about classes of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it does substantially limit the major life activity of working. You have to go
as a fireman
further and look at classes of jobs.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that firefighting is a class of jobs. As a profession, it is a class of jobs.
What kind of a reasonable restriction could they have on visual acuity?
Well,
before there's a threshold, as you can't even apply.
The commission is not in a position to actually set standards.
Yeah, but you're asking us to do that. Because if we say this one doesn't, then we're on a slippery slope. We can say, does 40-20 or 120 correct it? And we have to write a standard for every particular profession, not just firefighting. And I'm sympathetic to your point of view. The problem is, they've got to have some standards. If you can't see without your glasses to drive the truck, you have to drive the truck, then you have a problem.
Agreed. And what I'm saying the standards should be is they should be job related. And in this instance, they're obviously not job related. That's where the cutoff is. They have to be meaningful standards.
Why are they obviously not job related?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Because the city does not conduct radar examinations, nor does it prohibit its firefighters from wearing contacts. So a standard in this instance that would allow firefighter applicants
But a lot of people can't wear contacts. I've had my accident trying to get them, and I'm not very good at contacts.
Well, then,
am I prohibited from wearing contacts, only glasses? Do I can draw the line there now?
Well, if you can't wear the appropriate and corrective lenses, then you cannot safely and substantially perform the essential functions.
But I can wear glasses in the heat of the battle and trying to drag somebody out of the building and fall off, and there's the guy in the car.
Well, I understand your concern, but in this instance, we weren't dealing with glasses, we were dealing with contacts. It might be a different issue, and I can understand that that may be, the city may have proof that would be unsafe and it could be an occupational hazard. We don't have evidence about that. Here, we're talking about contacts, and the expert testimony was that they can safely and substantially perform a job. Notice my time is limited. I'd like to focus a moment on damages. The governing principle is to put the victim of unlawful discrimination back in the place that he or she would have been had there not been a discriminatory act. If the city had not discriminated against Mr. McGlone, he would have been appointed as a firefighter recruit.
How do we know that?
Because in the record is the eligible list. Mr. McGlone is ranked 156. The candidate ranked 155 was appointed. The candidate ranked 157 was appointed. And a candidate ranked 353 was announced appointed.
I forgot to ask Ms. Passmore, how does one get on the eligibility list before they pass the physical exam? And I guess the other.
Well, you actually get on the eligible list in this instance, you got on the eligible list before the medical exam.
Yeah.
So you take a written test and a physical agility test.
So we don't know. As I read the Court of Appeals opinion, it seems as if he gets the job without. They said he had to have a color vision test, but that's all. Is that the way you read the?
I do not read it that way at all. I read it that he has to be appointed as a firefighter recruit to go to the academy.
Without the physical exam. What if he has some physical impairment that didn't show up in the eye exam? He hasn't had the physical exam, has he?
Well,
do you have to have that? Do you think
he has to take any test that was not given to him before he was eliminated from the process? And then be put into the firefighting class or the academy.
So what are his damages then?
His damages are he should be instated into the fire academy and he should be awarded back pay.
The damages in these types of cases are not simply to make the individual whole, aren't they? Also to ensure that this type of behavior does not occur again.
The Ohio statute, the Ohio laws against discrimination, is to make the individual the victim of the unlawful discriminatory act.
And that's the sole criteria?
That's the sole criteria, but keep in mind that ambiguities are resolved against the discriminating employer. For these reasons, the Ohio Civil Rights Commission respectfully requests the honorable court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davison. Let's pass more. You saved a little over a minute of your time.
Your Honors, I realize that there are a number of issues that trouble with this case. Obviously, a lot of attention has been given as to whether standards were job-related. What they did was that you had to reasonably accommodate them, this person with a perceived handicap, by letting them move to use contact lenses. And if the court is going to go into those issues that go beyond the threshold issue of whether the person is handicapped, I suggest you look at whether it makes any sense to reasonably accommodate someone who is perceived as having an impairment. The purpose of reasonable accommodation is to level the playing field so that someone with an impairment can come to the same level as someone else. Therefore, the OCRC's rationale that this is someone with a perceived handicap and we need to reasonably accommodate someone who isn't even impaired according to the standards under the statute makes no sense whatsoever. But before you even get to that issue, Your Honor, what you need to look at here is this person even entitled to the protection of the Act? Not everyone eliminated from a job because they don't meet a particular criteria is entitled to the protection of this Act. In this case, the only thing the city perceived was that Mr. Long could not do highly specialized tasks related to fire suppression. That was the only thing that they were demanding he have uncorrected vision for. For other aspects of the job, they were willing to say glasses are fine. But for purposes of going into a burning building, locating victims, looking for cracks and knives, et cetera, the city of Columbus said that's important to us. That's the only thing we perceive this gentleman cannot do.
So does the record indicate that there are, Mr. Jameson indicates there are other firefighters who wear glasses? Does the record indicate the nature of their impairment and whether they wear contacts, or do we know?
Yes, some of those people do wear contacts and glasses. People in those positions then will be, for instance, moved to jobs where, with their experience, then they have that job, they have other
They're not
jobs.
Fire suppressors. We don't have the record. So do we know from the record, are there any fire suppressors that are wearing contacts?
I don't know if the record says, Your Honor. I don't believe it is.
Do you agree with Mr. Jameson's characterization of the remedy in this case that Mr. McGlone would have to take a physical examination and that the person before him and ahead of him on the eligible list got jobs?
Your Honor, just because people before him and after him on the eligibility list don't show that he would have been selected. Before him were not selected. We just don't have evidence in this case. The only thing that was done happened after the Attorney General's office submitted the eligibility list with no testimony. If you look at their objections to the hearing examiner's report, they read to the effect of, well, it appears that Mr. McGraw would have gotten a job. It appears that this is what would happen. And we submit to you without the benefit of reliable, probative, substantial evidence to tell you what would happen. You can't make the court cannot make that warrant. He would have to pass the physical, he would have to pass the color vision. His name would have to have been submitted along with two others in groups of three, the safety director, just to interview him. And the safety director only picks one out of the three in each group that submitted him. And the safety director rejects his name three times.
He's concerned he's going to get rejected three times, I think.
I can certainly understand that, but we're dealing with speculation here. There just isn't any testimony regarding what that eligibility list means. And after that testimony, there is not reliable, probative, and substantial evidence to support the ultimate order of the Civil Rights Commission, which is why the hearing examiner who heard this case did not go that far. Because he didn't have that sort of reliable approach to
this. Thank you. Thank you. For the case is submitted, you'll be advised of our opinion.